So, as I said, the verse that we have just read is the first line of a song which was composed in praise and thanksgiving to God by Deborah and Barak. And this was after they had successfully fought for the liberation of the people of God from their oppressors. So I'm just going to start off by giving us a background, which we find in chapters 4 and 5, as I've already said. Now, the whole story starts off during one of those periods that are so common in the book of Judges, when Israel were oppressed by their enemies because of their sins against God. This time, they were oppressed by a king called Jabin. He was the king of Canaan. They were 20 years under that oppression because of this, their sins against God. They had sinned against God. They had worshipped the gods of the nations that surrounded them. And the commander of the armies of Jabin was a man called Sisera. So I'll say more about that guy later on. Now, having been under this oppression for 20 years, the people of God eventually cried out to him for help, as they so usually did. And God heard their cries and moved to liberate them. And in doing so, God raised Deborah and Barak for that mission of liberating his people from the oppression of the Canaanites. Chapters 4 and 5 tell us how the people were liberated from Jabin by the hands of Deborah and Barak. These two are the main leaders whom the song refers to when it says that the leaders led in Israel, bless the Lord. A bit about these two, Deborah and Barak, starting off with Deborah. So the Bible tells us that Deborah was a prophetess and a judge of the people. She carried this leadership role while she was also a mother and a wife. We see that in the song that they sang to the Lord. From what we can tell from these two chapters, she was truly a godly woman. When the cries of the people because of their oppression had reached the ears of God, he had mercy on them and he would liberate them. And he gave word of this first to Deborah. God told Deborah of his intention to liberate his people from the oppression of the Canaanites. Deborah received a word from God to tell Barak to lead the people in battle against King Jabin. This we see in Judges chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, which I'd like to read for us. And it reads as follows. It says, "She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, 'Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you? Go, gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun. And I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand.'" That was the word that the Lord gave to Deborah to pass on to Barak. Now a bit about Barak. Now in the scriptures, we are not told much about his background. We do not know what he did for a living, for an example, why it was him that God called and all of that. So we don't know much about him. What we do see is that he was from the tribe of Naphtali. And when Deborah gave him the word that we've just read now, the word of the Lord to go and fight Jabin, this was his response in verse 8 of chapter 4. It says there, "Barak said to her, 'If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go.'" The next verse gives us her response to Barak. Verse 9 says, "And she said, 'I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman.'" So they went. Barak went and summoned men of Israel to follow him to the battle. 10,000 men from the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali went after Barak and Deborah to the battle. Chapter 5 tells us they were joined by men from other tribes of Israel. But some of the tribes, for some reason, decided not to join the fight. On that day, God gave them victory. They killed all the Canaanites that had come up against them. And then the commander of the Canaanite army, Sisera, that I said I would say more about, fled on foot, and Barak chased after him. As Sisera ran past the home of a woman named Jael, she called him into her house and gave him milk to drink. And after that, he fell asleep from exhaustion. As he slept, the Bible tells us that Jael took a tent peg and drove it through his skull and killed him. And then when Barak finally got there, Jael had already killed him. And this was in fulfillment of Deborah's word to Barak that Sisera would not be killed by him, but by a woman that is Jael. The significance to that, which I'll come to just now. It is after this victory that Deborah and Barak sang the song of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord that we see in chapter 5, which starts with the words we read in verse 2. And I'd like to read those words again. That the leaders took the lead in Israel, that the people offered themselves willingly, bless the Lord. That statement is a true summary of how the victory was won that day. By God's help, the leaders led the people to battle, and the people gave themselves willingly and went out to fight. By God's help, the leaders rose, and the people gave themselves willingly and went out to fight. Now, I see in this story, particularly in our verse today, an encouragement for us to give ourselves as churches afresh to the work of God. The cruel oppression of the people of God by Jabin, the king of Canaan, is a reminder of the enslavement of humanity to sin and to Satan. John chapter 8, verse 34 says, it says, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Therefore, humanity do not just willingly sin. They willingly sin because we are enslaved to sin. The slave master is Satan himself, as we see in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, which says, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning." And Paul on that also, speaking of the former state of those that are now believers, in Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 2, he says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." Those verses remind us of the fact that humanity, apart from Christ, is enslaved to Satan, and the enslavement of the children of Israel under Jabin reminds us of that enslavement of humanity to Satan and sin. Although humanity has not cried out to God in this oppression, God has been merciful to mankind, and he sent into the world a liberator, Jesus, the Son of God, to come and liberate all who will believe in him from the oppression of sin and its consequences. Look at the rest of 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 that we've already read. Starts off by saying, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning." Then it says, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." And of course, to free us from the enslavement to the devil. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus is our Deborah. He is our Barak, our liberator from the oppression of Satan. He came and died on the cross, dying in our place so that we may have eternal life instead of eternal death that we deserve. Now, whoever believes in him is set free from the oppression of sin and the oppression of Satan. John chapter 3, verse 16 reminds us of that. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Having been set free, as believers, we are called to follow Christ in the battle for the liberation of his people from sin. And I'm here to invite us all to give ourselves willingly to follow him. He is the first leader to rise. He is the first leader to give himself to this cause. And I'm here to invite us to give ourselves willingly to follow him in that battle, to liberate others that are still bound to sin, that are still bound to the enslavement by Satan. Church work is the battle for the liberation of God's people from the clutches of sin and Satan, and to secure them eternal life instead of eternal death. The eternal death that awaits all who are enslaved to sin. Having set us free, Jesus, our Deborah, Jesus, our Barak, has commissioned us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that he has commanded us. And behold, he says, "I am with you always to the end of the age." We have been commissioned, brothers and sisters, we have been commissioned to go and tell others of the good news of the liberation we have in Jesus, so that they also may be set free. That is in itself a battle for liberation of those still held in the clutches of sin. So having been commissioned in this way by Jesus, we have much to learn and to be encouraged by from Deborah and Barak story, the commanders and all the people in the story of the battle for liberation from Jabin. After the victory, Deborah and Barak sang, and I'd like to read it for us again, that first line, that the leaders took the lead in Israel. Amen, brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ has already taken the lead. That the leaders took the lead in Israel. That the people offered themselves willingly. Bless the Lord. That is where our lessons and encouragements lie for today. Firstly, to the leaders in the church today, the message to you is take the lead. I feel like some perhaps do somehow sense a call to leadership, but for whatever reason, perhaps you feel disqualified or not good enough or whatever. And whatever that is, causes you to then not lead. Leaders in the church, the message to you is take the lead. And by that, leaders in the church this morning, I sense that it is not just the Tonos and the Daves of this church, but there are others who are sensing the call to lead in the church who have not led. That the leaders among the people led, bless the Lord. Leaders in the church, the message to you is take the lead. Lead. Leaders, lead. Do not hold back for whatever reason from leading in the leadership roles you have been assigned. Lead like Deborah. She was a judge holding a position of prominence and great responsibility in Israel. At the same time, she was a mother and a wife. But when the necessity arose for her to go to the battle for the liberation of God's people, off she went. Wives and mothers among us today continue to lead in the mission of God. Or perhaps if you aren't as yet, though you know that God has called you to it, the message is leaders lead. Wives and mothers continue to lead in the mission of God, despite the fact that you are a wife and a mother. And if you also, at the same time, hold a position or positions of prominence in the marketplace, lead in God's mission still. May Deborah be an encouragement to you that through God enabling you, you do not have to choose between the mission of God in the church and the mission of God in the home and the mission of God in the marketplace. It's all the mission of God that He has called you to. May He enable you to do it all as Deborah did. That Deborah was able to do that, I'll come there to the very end. That Deborah was able to do that, it was by the enabling of the Lord. That is the reason why the song is written to the Lord, and that statement in its fullness says that this happened, bless the Lord. The same God who was able to do it for Deborah at that time is able to do it for you as well. The same goes to you husbands and fathers who also hold at the same time positions of responsibility in the marketplace. May God grant you to continue to lead in His church, to lead in His mission of the liberation of humanity from Satan. Secondly, what we see about Deborah is that though not a fighter, when called upon, she went to the fight. Battles are nothing glamorous. They are hard, they are dirty, they are bloody. But Deborah did not say, I'm a judge. Going to the battle is below me. It is for those soldiers. No, she didn't say that. Called upon to go, she went. I'll tell you, leaders in the church, there's no prestige associated with leadership here. There's no prestige in the world's sight associated with the mission of God. Though not prestigious, and there's no glory for us in it, lead, because it is a cause more worthy than we will ever understand. Though we will not get accolades from the world, we will not get praises from the world for leading in the mission of God, but it is a cause more worthy than we will ever understand. And on that day when we shall stand before Him, we will fully understand then. Leaders lead like Barak. Lead humbly and not for your glory. He was fine that it would be Jael who would kill Sisera and not him. I find that amazing. Guy who understands, he shows that he understands that this cause is not about him, but it is about God. And it is about the good of God's people. Lead humbly for the glory of God, for the good of God's people, and not for our glory. Secondly, lead with faith. Note that the word of the Lord came to him through someone else, that is Deborah, and he acted on that word that he received from someone else. When I look at his situation, comparing it with another judge's, that being Gideon, the word of the Lord came directly to him. And God gave him sign after sign after sign, although eventually he went off and did that which God was calling him to. He struggled to get there. Barak With him, it's different. Deborah is the one that receives the word of the Lord and passes it on to him. The only condition that he has is you need to come with. And upon hearing that he's not going to get the glory in this whole thing, it's like, I'm fine with that. That's not what it's about. And in faith, off he went. The word of the Lord has having been received by someone. Let us also, in a similar way, lead with faith. Let us lead with faith, believing that God will do what is beyond what we can, in our minds, imagine in bringing Jobek to him. And let us take faith steps towards that, starting with coming tomorrow evening for evangelism training. Lead with faith. And we see that the song praises God for the leading of the leaders, but also how the people responded to the leading of the people. And with what I see there, I'd like to encourage us and say to us, all of us, let us rise. Let us rise, brothers and sisters. This mission is not just for a select few, but it's for all of us. We all have a role to play in that which God is doing in the world. Therefore, I'd like to encourage us, as the people rose and gave themselves willingly to go to this battle, let us do the same in the mission that God has called us to. It is not reserved only for the leaders. It's for all of us. So, people, let us rise. To all of us, his people, members of his church, who may not be in any leadership position in the church, let us rise. Us whom he has already saved, let us give ourselves willingly to the work of liberating others from sin and its consequences. The work of the church that we are called to. The people gave themselves to the mission willingly. In their going after Barak and Deborah, they were not under compulsion. They gave themselves willingly. At the end of the age, may it be said of us what was said of the tribe of Zebulun in the song. It says, these tribes, they risked their lives to death for the mission of God. May it be said of us that. May that be the commendation that we receive before the Lord the day we will stand before him. Let us not be like the Reubenites, the Danites, and the Asherites. May we not be like those tribes that did not go out to battle. The song says about them from verse 5, from verse 16 to 17. It says, among the clans of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Why did you sit, the song says about them, why did you sit still among the sheepfolds to hear the whistling of the flocks? Among the clans of Reuben, there were great searching of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. And Dan, why did he stay with the sheep? Asher sat still, it says, at the coast of the sea, staying by his landings. His clans did not go to the fight. Those that did not go to the fight, from this line that we've just read now, we see that they contemplated going, but without going until the work was done. Brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage us, as Jesus Christ says, that we ought to calculate the cost. But let us not be calculating the cost for life. Decide to engage in the work of God willingly. we also see that they stayed back to care for their property and their business interests. They remind me of those in the parable of Jesus in Luke 14 who made excuses when they were invited into his kingdom, to be subjects of the kingdom, to serve the king. We see there in Luke 14 that one said, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. These were kept from the kingdom by what they had. Similarly, what we have can keep us from the mission of God, as it did the Reubenites, the Danites, and the Asherites. We cannot, the Bible tells us, serve 2 masters, Jesus said. That which God has blessed us with, we need to submit it to the master, that is Jesus. It needs to be submitted to his mission. May we not be like these. God help us. Let us go. Let us engage in the mission of God. And finally, Deborah and Barak understood that the leadership of the leaders and the willingness of the people to serve was as a result of God working in them. It is for this reason that they bless the Lord for all that has taken place in their song. Lesson for us in that is that it is God who enables us to lead as Barak and Deborah did. And it is him who enables us to willingly give ourselves to his work. Let us look to him to do that for us. Yes, please do hear my encouragement this morning to act, to rise up, lead, give ourselves willingly and all of that. But all of that we ought to do. We need to act in those ways dependent upon God's enablement. It is his harvest field and it is him who equips and sends out laborers into it to bring the harvest in. Jesus therefore says in Luke 10 verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord that the harvesters will rise up and lead, that the harvesters will give themselves willingly into this harvest. So we pray, Lord, send harvesters into your harvest field. Let the leaders lead and let the people rise and give themselves willingly to your mission. So leaders in the church this morning, and brothers and sisters, please note the definition that I gave this morning of leaders being spoken to here. It's those that are already doing it, perhaps even have an office, as well as those that perhaps for a long time you've been feeling like the Lord is calling me to this, the Lord is calling me to this. But for whatever reason, you haven't led. So leaders, lead. People, rise by the enablement of God. Dependent upon him, dependent upon the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. May we bow our heads and pray. Father, come before you, glorious King. We thank you, Lord God, even for the example of those that have gone ahead of us, who gave themselves, some of them at great cost to themselves, to the mission that you called us to go and take the gospel, starting in Joburg to the ends of the world. We thank you, Lord God, for those men and women that charted the course in those ways for us. We thank you for the work that they have done. Lord God, we say truly, bless the Lord. And Father, for the work that the men and women in this church of leading, Lord God, that's been done, we say, bless the Lord. We say, bless the Lord, Lord God. And along, Lord God, with our thanksgiving, we also pray, Lord God, that more and more will rise to lead, and more of us will rise to give ourselves, Lord God, to this mission. Wherever you have placed us, Lord God, let us take the gospel there. And collectively as the church, Lord God, we pray, Father God, let us work, Lord God, towards that mission. Lord God, let the gospel ring out Sunday in, Sunday out. Whenever we are gathered in this way, Lord God, let men and women, Lord God, who come in enslaved still to Satan and sin, may they come and find freedom in this place. We pray, Moe Ngwele, remain upon, Father, this gathering, this congregation, Lord God, these your people, Lord God. Lord God, and may freedom that is found in Christ be known by every single one who will come in, Lord God Almighty, not knowing you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Spirit of the Lord, liberate, liberate, liberate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.